Shalom, Rabbi Galperin.
How are you, Ilan?
I am fine. How are you?
Baruch Hashem. Hashem, everything is good. It was really nice seeing you on Sunday at the barbecue.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me. It was fun.
No, it was. Thank God the weather held up. It was beautiful.
Everything was beautiful. I even sent my compliments to the chef.
I had nothing to do with it. I just bought all the meat. Yeah, no, for sure. But Baruch Hashem, it's a beautiful turnout, and everyone had a good time. So that's the getting into the spirit of Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah, it's a good start for the year.
Oh yes, for sure, for sure.
Good. So
all right, we got so much to tell. We should get down to business and discuss about Rosh Hashanah, which is coming up very, very soon.
Okay, so let's start.
And so now we see that Rosh Hashanah, obviously the name means the head of the year, and is observed for 2 days. And obviously it's the first day of the Jewish year. And it's also the anniversary of the creation of Adam and Eve, the first man and the woman. And also, Rosh Hashanah emphasizes, if you look a little bit deeper into Rosh Hashanah, it emphasizes a special relationship between God and humanity. Our dependence upon God as our creator and sustainer, and God's dependence upon us as the ones who make his presence known and felt in this world. And the way that it works on Rosh Hashanah, all the inhabitants of the world pass before God like a flock of sheep, and is decreed in the heavenly court who shall live, who shall die, who shall fall, who shall rise. But also, this is a day that we proclaim God as King of the Universe. And the Kabbalists teach that the continued existence of the universe is dependent upon this, upon the renewal of the divine desire for a world when we accept God's kingship each year on Rosh Hashanah. So that is, you know, the general reason of what Rosh Hashanah is and what's the connection between us and God. Now, obviously there is the central observance of Rosh Hashanah, which is the sounding of the shofar, which is the ram's horn, which also represents the trumpet blast of people's coronation of their king. We connect ourselves with our king, with God, or when anyone accepts a king, there's all the trumpet blowings and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And also the cry of the shofar is also a call to repentance, because Rosh Hashanah is also the anniversary of man's first sin and his repentance afterwards, and serves as, you know, the first of the 10 days of the repentance, where we'll talk about that at a different time in regards to Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
Now, as we talked about, obviously the primary theme of the day of Rosh Hashanah is the acceptance of God as our King. And much of the day, obviously, is spent in the synagogue. And God not only desires to have a world with people, but God also wants an intimate relationship with each one of us. And, you know, besides the fact of the collective aspect of Rosh Hashanah, that everyone's in shul and everyone's in synagogue or temple, wherever it may be, and they're praying together, however, each man and woman personally asks God to accept that we are, each person individually, are accepting God as our King and God that's how we have our connection between us and God. Now, there's a lot of customs that go into Rosh Hashanah. One of them, the famous one, is we eat a piece of apple dipped in honey, which this is to symbolize our desire, obviously, for a sweet year. And these, you know, we make a special blessing. And this is all got to do with asking God to be able to give us a sweet new year.
Yeah.
Now, the question is simple for some people that have it is, you know, when we dip the apple in the honey, why is it that we're dipping an apple in honey? We understand the concept, you know, we dip it in honey, we want to be able to have a sweet new year, that's great, that's beautiful. But why an apple? Maybe we should take a peach, or we should take a nectarine, or an orange, I don't know, a pear, something that's sweet as well, and dip that in honey. Why is it that we have established and decided, you know what, we need to be able to take an apple? And one of the simple answers is that the apple symbolizes the Garden of Eden, which according to the Medrash, according to the explanation of the Torah, has a scent of an apple orchard. And in the Kabbalah, it's called the Holy Apple Orchard. Because when Isaac commented regarding his son Jacob, and he said to him, "Behold, the fragrance of my son is like the fragrance of the field which God has blessed." You know, when he was coming to get the blessing and he tricked his older brother Esau, who was the wicked guy, and he came and he dressed up as you know, he wasn't hairy and furry and everything, but he came dressed up.
Yeah.
Yitzchak said, "Hey, this is the fragrance of the field." And the biblical commentator Rashi explains that this refers to the scent of an apple orchard, the scent of the Garden of Eden. And because of that, therefore, symbolic to that is we take a apple, and you know, obviously we do what do you call it? We dip the apple in the honey.
Yeah.
So
what other foods do we have in the Rosh Hashanah Eve meal? We have the tapuach and vash, the apple with the honey.
The apple and honey. We then also have the head of a fish, which people eat because one of the reasons is, and we say that, we make a special blessing when we're doing it.
Le Rosh
v'lo l'zanav. That we should be
the head,
should
and
be
not
always
the head
and not the tail. Correct. Okay. So by eating, you know, you have some people, in the Sephardi community, that do, that have the head of the ram.
Oh, yeah, right.
They have the head of the ram on the table, you know, that's the truth. Not everyone, obviously, is able to
get the head
handle
of the ram.
That.
Yeah.
To handle having the head of the ram on the table, but at least, you know, you have the, you know, at least you can have the symbolic one, which is the head of the fish.
Yeah.
Now, also, a lot of people have a custom of eating tzimis. A lot of the older generation know what tzimis is, where you have carrots and apples, and they're mixed together in this very sweet sauce.
They sit for a long time.
Correct, they marinate, and it's a very, very sweet thing. And the reason why I have that, because the Yiddish word for carrots is meron. And meron also is translated into meron a lot, abundance. And so therefore, we eat that, we should have everything that we need in our lives. We should have an abundance of everything that we need with our family, whether it be money, whether it be health, whether it be whatever it may be, we should have abundance of that. So that's another symbolic thing why we what we eat on Rosh Hashanah. Another concept on Rosh Hashanah is, I mean, obviously, you know, you have your meal with whatever else you are accustomed to eating, whether it be, you know, the
challah
dipped in honey. You have a lot of people that on a Rosh Hashanah would take challah, and when they make it or when they buy it, they make sure they buy it with raisins inside.
Yes.
To be able to show that that's also sweet.
Yeah.
You know, so you have that, and you're dipping not only the apple in the honey, you're dipping the challah in the honey, and you know, you're having your gefilte fish, and then you're having your general Rosh Hashanah. You know, I think it became the Jewish tradition Rosh Hashanah, you have brisket, and you have, you know, your roast. So it's a very festive time. Obviously, us Jews, it's always going to be festive, not only in the spiritual aspect of sitting in the synagogue and contemplating and accepting God as our King and praying on that day, but it also is to be able to enjoy ourselves a little bit, which says, "En simcha ela v'basar v'yayin." There is no joy without
food and wine. Yeah.
Exactly. So in other words, that yes, it's a serious time of Rosh Hashanah where we're going to be joining everything. On the other hand, also, you want to be able to enjoy the simcha, the holiness of the day, by you eating as well.
Yes.
So those are more of the traditional things that foods that really need to have.
Go ahead.
There is
one traditional costume that I wanted you to mention, and that's the tashlich.
Oh, I was just about to talk about
that. Okay.
You're very, very good. Tashlich, as you said, is customary that we do this on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, and I'll explain what it is in a second. However, if you're not able to do it the first day of Rosh Hashanah, you can do it the second day of Rosh Hashanah, and you can do it all the 10 days
until you get to Yom Kippur.
Until Yom Kippur, correct.
Yeah.
And Tashlich is a special prayer which is said near a body of water, for example, an ocean, a river, a pond.
Yeah.
And what it is we walk to the river, as we will be doing this year, as we do every year, and we walk down to the river. And if you were not able to walk down to the river, you can go to your pond, you can go to a fish, anywhere that's a large stream of water that has fish swimming in the water. And one of the customs is that we, as we're walking there, we're going to be casting away our sins. And, you know, by the banks of the river or any near source of water, we sort of say a special blessing, who is a God like you, who bears iniquity, ignores transgressions, who has chosen the people, you know, he does not retain his anger forever, he desires to be benevolent, so on and so forth. And we sort of, in a symbolic way, throw away our sins into the river, into the fish, that we should be able to, once we leave there, that's why we do it the first day, to be able to start the new year on a clean slate, so-called, no sins in our pocket, no transgression in our pocket, that when we start the year, we're clean, we have no history, it's all wiped out, and that it gives us a chance to be able to start over again.
And we just empty our pockets, right?
Yeah. We empty our pockets. Some people have a custom to be able to take bread and just throw it into the water and feed the fish and the ducks or whatever may be over there at that period of time, wherever you're going. But that is primarily the main concept, is basically throwing away, getting rid of our sins, that we should be able to start right away a new year with a clean slate. And that's primarily the tradition of Rosh Hashanah. Now, obviously, we're going to hear on Rosh Hashanah the shofar. We're going to hear 100 sounds of the shofar blast throughout the Rosh Hashanah. And it's customary, you know, a lot of people have a custom that during the night, during the day of Rosh Hashanah, that we don't eat, you know, very sour things and nuts. For example, because the numerical value of nuts in Hebrew equals ra, which is bad. We don't really want to eat nuts.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's primarily more of a time to focus. which I think is very, very important on shul, but not only on shul, but I think it's an important thing to be able to spend time with the family,
yeah.
be able to have dinner with the family, or be able to talk about our relationships as a family, between ourselves, our relationships between us and God, maybe a new resolution that we can take upon ourselves for the new year, something that will enhance our acceptance of God as a king, and how we're going to be able to give back to God what we expect, you know, from God to always give us. And I think that's one of the main important things that we have on Rosh Hashanah.
Now, Rabbi, are there any special services in the shul, in Shaarei Tzedek?
Yes, we have Wednesday evening, which is going to be the first night of Rosh Hashanah. We are going to have services at 7 o'clock Wednesday evening, and then we are going to have services Thursday morning, 9 o'clock, followed by, you know, after services we have some honey cake and apples and honey, and then we are going to be having a Tashlich March, if you want to say. We've done it for 2 years already, and thank God, you know, we've got a nice crowd of people that come. We leave from the corner of Giles and Victoria, and we walk all the way up to the river, and at the river we say the Tashlich service, we spend time over there at the water, and if people are able to would like to walk, they can meet us there. If not, they can meet us at the actual river itself on that day, probably about like 5:15, 5:20, and then we have services that following evening at 7 o'clock as well, and then the next morning 9 o'clock. So we have services throughout Rosh Hashanah, and that's also open to all the students. And if students are in need of meal and so on, they can definitely email me and I can arrange it for them, windsorrabbi@gmail.com. And we should all be inscribed in a healthy, happy, sweet new year, where we should only know of health and happiness in our land of Windsor and in our homeland of Israel, that we should only have peace, and it should be a peaceful year, and that God should watch down on all the people, brothers and sisters of Israel, that they should only have security.
That's great. So, Rabbi, thank you for your time and knowledge.
No problem. Thank you.
And we'll talk the next week. It's a Yom Tov, so there will be probably just recorded songs. And the week after, we'll talk about Yom Kippur.
Yes, definitely. And Ilan, you should have a lot of success, and we should have a ketivah and chetimah tova.
Thank you.
A healthy, sweet new year, and I'm looking forward to talking after Rosh Hashanah.
Same here. Shabbat Shalom.
You too. Be well.
Be well.